The year was 1925. Italy was 3 years into Benito Mussolini's totalitarian rule. Anyone who rose up in opposition to him, whether it be intellectual or political, was met by violence. In the same year, 1925, Pope Pius XI created a new motto for his papal office: the peace of Christ in the reign of Christ. He established the feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of Christ the King, the newest festival to be added to the church year. Mussolini, as we know the rest of the story, was just the beginning. A global movement of totalitarianism followed, spreading to Germany, Japan, Russia, and Brazil, ushering the world into a world war. Pope Pius was alarmed by the rise of any human leader who claimed to possess absolute power, to hold the truth, and to exercise total control over their subjects. Any claim of supremacy, the Pope said, challenges the authority and reign of Christ's love and peace. And so the Lutheran Church, along with other Protestant church bodies, adopted this festival of Christ the King, a yearly reminder that Christ alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In our reading from John chapter 18, we have a remarkable record of a conversation between Pontius Pilate and Jesus. This is the same Pontius Pilate that we name weekly as we confess the creed, that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. But this is before, just before Jesus suffers under Pontius's soldiers, their whips, their crown of thorns, their mockery, and ultimately their nails. Jesus first tries to speak with Pontius Pilate, person to person. He tries to show Pilate the difference between human power and divine authority. He says, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world," Jesus says, "my followers would be fighting. Jesus' kingdom is like nothing the world has ever seen. Jesus' kingdom is wholly non-violent. Jesus doesn't come to force anyone to do anything, but rather he comes to win us by his love. He does not come to threaten or coerce. He comes not to kill, but he comes to pray for and to love his enemies. He comes sacrificially. He comes selflessly as the King. Wherever the kingdom is, that's where we find the King. Wherever the King goes, that's where the kingdom follows, our Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, the eternal Son of God, his entrance into the world, just as Jesus says, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify about the truth." We don't have it in our bulletins, but just one verse later, in verse 38, in John chapter 18, Pontius Pilate asks, "What is truth?" We seem to live in the same age of wondering what the truth is. Jesus points to us, he points us to that truth. Truth means something that's unconcealed, disclosed, or has been revealed. Our second reading from the book of Revelation, that word revelation is a related word, which means that Jesus reveals what the truth is. And the truth that John has in his vision in Revelation is a world that is ruled by Christ. The truth is that Pilate is really just a pawn of the emperor, just a puppet governor. The truth is Pilate is more concerned about his popularity than he is the truth and doing the right thing. Pilate is also a pawn of the mobs that are crying out, "Crucify, crucify him." Powerless to do the right thing, Pontius Pilate will wash his hands, he thinks, of innocent blood. But rather, what he's really doing is ensuring the death of the spotless lamb. Pilate does not know the truth because everyone in that day were bombarded with lies, the lies of the emperor, whose inscription on a coin said that he was Lord. This world rules, doesn't it, by imperialism, nationalism, and tribalism, sadly. We see it even today, just as the Pope saw it in 1925 and as Jesus points it out in his day. We also get caught up, I think, as a people with our own self-preservation and prosperity, so much so that we lose sight of God's global vision that Jesus echoes in his words to Pontius Pilate. God commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we remember who the neighbor is, according to Jesus, in his parable of the Good Samaritan. The good neighbor is the foreigner in our midst, Jesus says, the one who does good to somebody who's different and who is formerly known as an enemy. Scripture says that as believers, our citizenship is in God's kingdom. We are first citizens of Christ's kingdom and ambassadors of a greater kingdom, which is to extend Christ's reign of peace and love to everyone. We are sojourners traveling through this world to our heavenly home, to our alma mater. Like Jesus, we should also be able to say, "My kingdom is not of this world. Our King is not like this world. Thanks be to God." Our King and kingdom has come into this world to transform this world one life at a time by the reign of his love. And like Jesus, you and I are also called to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to be a peculiar people, Scripture says, a people after God's own heart. Jesus, our King, leads the way. It's a high calling to rise above our national identity. The United States of America is not the only nation in this world. It's not the world was not limited to that, of course, when Jesus said these words. God deeply cares about every human soul. He's the Lord of every tribe, tongue, and nation, and people. As God's people, you and I should realize the futility of the way of the world, the partisan arguing and fighting that we see around us. We as God's people should be that light and that city on a hill that Christ calls us to be. Nations will still wage war against nation, against one another with arms, economically and culturally. Even our collective self-interests as human beings are compromised when we are so self-absorbed to the detriment of our environment and to the health of this planet. We are stewards of this world. And we are stewards, too, of one another. Our kingdom is not merely of this world. This is a great challenge as God's people, but also a great opportunity. Where else will people experience God's universal love for the world but the church? Where else where the ambassadors of Christ's kingdom go out into the world to spread the good news? Who else will preach reconciliation between God and humanity and reconciliation between those who were enemies but now have been made former enemies and made brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus says that the truth is something that will be upheld by those who belong to the truth. You and I belong to the truth. We are God's precious possession. We're not our own. Our forgiveness and place in Christ's kingdom have been purchased, not with gold and silver, but by his crimson blood. You and I get to share God's love with others as God's people. We get to extend his reign among us as his soldiers of peace because he has first extended that peace and love to us. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed over the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. In the name of Jesus, amen.